Welcome to It's All Journalism. This is Jolie Lee. Last week, we talked to Steve Buttrey, the Digital Transformation Editor for Digital First Media and Journal Register Company. This week, we continued the discussion with him. He'll be talking about mobile strategies, digital first newsrooms, and what the future of the journalism industry looks like. He spoke with It's All Journalism's Mike O'Connell and Megan Clougherty.
You are a huge proponent of mobile first.
Sure.
We talked about this in our class too, and you blogged about it a lot. Why do you think it's a better fit for newsrooms going forward than maybe a web forward model?
I think it needs to be both. I mean, but I would stress mobile thinking because you see, and I think tablets are changing that dynamic some because they can be more easily mobile than a laptop, although the usage patterns are that tablets are maybe more bringing back the evening newspaper. There's heavier tablet use in the evening, but you do see people with them around traveling and working and everything. So I think blogged about my call for a mobile first strategy in 2009, and I still think it's important to be thinking mobile first before you're thinking the whole digital display, because it's easier, I think, to make something that's geared for mobile work on a larger screen than vice versa. But if I were to update that now, and I think pretty much any business strategy that you wrote in 2009 needs to be updated if you're going to pursue it in 2012, I would say you need a digital approach that is device flexible, you know, that it's going to work on mobile, it's going to be thought through for mobile, but it's going to work on your desktop computer, your laptop computer, your tablet. There'll be a text element of it as well as display on all of those tablets and all of those devices and so on.
You were talking about, too, in your blog, which I found interesting because everyone has that big kind of crisis of conscience. Do I put the content out there initially so that people can just have it? Or should I wait, vet it, you know, make sure I have this long article ready to go? We were talking to Ethan Clapper about this at the Huffington Post about tweeting. I mean, do you throw something out there? And he says you have to.
Absolutely.
And in your, you know, in your mobile first blog, you were talking about that too. Just get it out and then pull the listeners, the viewers in.
Sure. I think you have to be a reliable source of information. So if you're not sure of the information, you know, I don't think people ask me sometimes about this balance between getting it fast and getting it right. And I say there's no balance. If you don't have it right, you don't have it, and it doesn't matter how fast you had bad information.
Right.
But with the unfolding story, we do have good information before we have complete information. And I am absolutely a proponent of tweeting. Once you've got a fact nailed down, you tweet that fact, or you live blog it on the website. Of course, you can feed tweets into your website, so it's not an either or thing. But holding something until you have it all is really print thinking, and we got to move beyond print thinking. But you know, as soon as you get a fact verified, you can publish it. Now, are there times when you want to, you know, kind of step back and put all of these facts that came out into context and put a narrative of some sort together? Absolutely. But I don't believe in holding back facts that you've got nailed down. Now, you know, newspapers have been running corrections forever. If you publish quicker facts that you've thought you had nailed down, are you going to have to do more corrections? Maybe so. But I think we need to correct transparently and strive for being as accurate as possible.
Like news judgment without the deadline.
Right. Yes, absolutely.
So I'm assuming that this sort of what we're just talking about right here is what's behind the Thunderdome.
That's a lot of Thunderdome has multiple aspects, and certainly all this thinking is reflected in Thunderdome. I mentioned earlier that John Payton says our core competencies are local content and local sales. and yet people still look to certainly a newspaper, but I think even a local news organization for that's digital for news beyond the community. And one of our newsrooms is the Denver Post, and we're going to cover the Denver Broncos there, and we're going to cover the election in Colorado, which is one of the swing states. But we need to provide the broader context of all the NFL news and all the election news and those sorts of things. It, you know, it used to be that every newspaper, and I used to do this job in the Des Moines Register, that every newspaper had people who would edit those national stories and put them in their newspaper. Well, we own 75 newspapers and 75 daily newspapers in Digital First in our two companies, and it's just inefficient to have 75 people handling coverage of the attack on the consulate in Libya, or you know, of Sunday's NFL games and those sorts of things, and so. What we're going to do at Thunderdome is we're going to handle the non-local content for all of our sites. And so we're not just moving the old functions in there. We're saying, okay, if you're starting from scratch, because we kind of are, how would you build a national news operation serving these 75 newsrooms in 2012? And so we've got, and I actually was in charge of developing and hiring a curation team. We've got a team of people who are curating the discussion, whether it's on social media or in blogs or news reports about various news issues. And we've got a politics channel and a sports channel and a finance channel and a world channel and so on. And we've got a data team that's going to be analyzing data, either national data that we can then localize in these 75 different newsrooms, or that will provide the data analysis for a special project in one of the local newsrooms that may not be nationalized, but it's important enough to use the data team for that. So. We're thinking, how do you support 75 newsrooms with these sorts of functions? And that's one of the big points of Thunderdome is more efficient handling of the national content. And then there's a business side of that too. Thunderdome has a national sales team there that's saying, okay, we've got, and I think the number is 42 million, but I'm operating on memory here. So I agree. You know, we got 42 million, you know, an audience of 42 million uniques among our many different sites. And we've got this health channel that's serving that audience. Are there some national health advertisers that we can get that none of the locals would get by themselves? Or sports advertisers, or you know, we have a pets vertical and some of those sorts of things. So we're thinking, rethinking the business and news aspects of the non-local news, so that we can commit more of our resources in those newsrooms to local content and local sales.
I think it's interesting how Steve always seems to be on the front lines of online news projects, and obviously that's not a mistake. I mean, you're doing this on purpose. You were helping guide the ship at TBD, and now you're with Digital First, and these projects are exciting, and you're doing different, you know, kind of unique things with online news, but there's that risk to all of these projects. How do you sort of weigh, you know, as a professional, obviously you have a family, and I mean, all of us would love to go out and sort of be a part of these exciting new things, but I wonder how you kind of approach that.
Well, I have a very understanding wife.
You married Rich,
who
right?
Who has made all of the moves with me so far. I think somebody, when I left the Cedar Rapids Gazette to come to TBD, which was a local Washington news startup that hopefully many of your audience will remember. Said that was really risky. And of course, I was very confident. I didn't think it was that risky, but of course I was wrong. And you know, my response was, you know, it's risky staying in the newspaper business these days. And I know way too many friends and outstanding journalists who have lost their jobs. And so my, I think I don't regard myself as being particularly, you know, adventurous or pioneering here. I see where I think the business needs to go. I want to have a successful career, you know, and I want the career to end when I'm ready to end, not because somebody threw me out the door. And I think that being more, that staying more relevant and staying involved with this discussion is good for me and good for my career. Now, you know, I may make some mistakes along the way. I'm sure a lot of people thought that going to TBD was a mistake, and in retrospect, it looks that way. I had a wonderful time, connected with colleagues that I admire, and it actually, I think, led to the current gig. So I just considered it a stop along the way that was more brief than I had intended. I don't consider that it wasn't a successful career move for me. So.
Well, you meet all these people. All these people I do. Who are now on your curation team.
Yeah.
A lot of them were at TBD, is that right?
None of you on the curation. Well, actually, that's right. Julie Westfall, the leader of the curation team, was at TBD. The other two members of the curation team came from Digital First Newsrooms. But Mandy Jenkins, who helped me hire the curation team and is now going to be leading the curation video and data teams that will all report to her at Thunderdome. She also worked with me at TBD, as did Jim Brady. So yes, there are a lot of the TBD connections have continued at Digital First. I think Jim put together a good team at TBD, and I think he put together a good team for Thunderdome.
I have a question too, just to sort of switch gears. Steve also is a consultant. You go around training different newsrooms. Well, I don't know if training the newsroom is the right way to say it, but sort of helping newspapers or more traditional news outlets sort of reconfigure themselves mm-hmm. towards a digital-first approach. There are a lot of newsrooms out there who still, you know, they have the iPhone and they have the camera and they have all the stuff they need to report digitally and still do their sort of more traditional reporting. How do you switch that mindset so it's not an afterthought?
Sure, and it really is switching the mindset. I mean, training is important. But changing how people think and part of it when I do a workshop, the most common workshop that I do now, and I'm doing it mostly for our newsrooms, but I do it sometimes at conferences or other newsrooms. I'll start by going around the table and ask people to identify what are the issues or questions they have about their job and becoming digital first. And some of those are valid issues that Jim and I need to help them deal with. We don't have the right equipment to do this. Well, okay, some of them don't, and we need to be aware of that and try to help them upgrade their equipment. But sometimes you'll hear some excuses. I had a guy who was a reporter and who does some editing at one of our newsrooms recently who said, I'm having trouble seeing the value of Twitter. And, you know, which a lot of journalists are. I was glad that he said that. I didn't belittle him for saying that. And I said, I'm going to help you see the value of Twitter. And I wrote a blog post about the value of Twitter. Unfortunately, he had to leave our meeting, our workshop, fairly quickly to go cover an event. So I didn't get a chance to do it very much there in person. But we followed up by email and my blog, and I say from our latest email exchange, I think he's coming along. He's not yet going to be a Twitter evangelist like I am, but
he knows how to use it.
He does. Yes, he's using it more and better than he was before. And so I think you want to identify what are the issues that are troublesome for them, and see, you know, is there some teaching you can do? And sometimes just teaching them, helping them learn skills. Sometimes it's telling them that it's okay to not worry about this and to start doing that and those sorts of things. And sometimes it's just you need to listen to them and let them get out some of their fears and concerns and help them get past them. So it's a mix of things.
Sounds like counseling.
There probably is some counseling involved, and I think each newsroom has its own dynamic. You know, that if you get a few people going in one newsroom, that gives some momentum. And I like the resistors because they provide some important milestones. When everybody in the newsroom can see that this prominent, experienced reporter is holding out, then I can hold out too. And so if I can turn that guy, then the rest of them think, oh, crap, I've got to go, you know, start doing this too. So there's a soft spot for the curmudgeons in me. And because I know a lot of them personally, and because I easily could have been one of them. And so I like working with them and you know, helping them rejuvenate their careers, really.
Well, let me sort of insert my own personal experience as a digital first journalist. When I was working at the Connection newspapers as an editor, all of our different papers were divided up into pods, and I was in charge of one pod in particular. And this was actually during the class, your class that I took at American University. Monday morning, I came in and I said, you know, I think I'm going to try to be a digital first journalist and see what that means. Mm-hmm. And what I ended up doing was really sort of turning my workflow completely upside down. You know, I edited everything and I posted online. You know, everything I did was front loaded, you know, and then there were other benefits that came out of it. I had feedback from readers before the paper was on the street about stories. I had sources contact me and say, oh, you misspelled my name. Oh, it's not 10,000, it's 11,000. So I was able to, in a sense, use my readers as, you know, to catch me and to help me update my content before it goes into
copy desk.
outsource my copy desk, so that when the text actually appeared in the paper, it had already been corrected. So I didn't have to run a correction in the paper. Sure. I could just go in and do it online.
An example I use in teaching people the value of live blogging that very much follows on that is, and I use court reporting, but you could use covering a, you know, athletic events or meetings or festivals, or, you know, that a court reporter in a print first newsroom, which I worked in for many years as the editor. I was never on the court beat, but I covered a lot of trials. So I've worked this from both the editing and reporting side. You know, you're spending 6 hours in the courtroom each day when a trial is going on, either way. But the difference is, in a print first newsroom, you're taking notes all day, gathering all this content, and then deciding how much of that are we going to put in the newspaper. And it may be 12, 15 inches, maybe less. You know, if it's a verdict, there might be more. But, you know, you've got dozens of inches of content in that notebook that some people, the people whose neighborhood the crime occurred in, or the person whose child's teacher was the defendant or the victim, they care a lot more. They want all that content that you have in that notebook. And by live blogging or live tweeting, you can share that content, the deep content that people who are intensely interested really want, without any more work. You were going to be in the courtroom taking down content for 6 hours anyway. Mm-hmm. If you're just putting that out there into the community, you're feeding a need that the newspaper, although we prided ourselves on our depth, a need that we never met, without really any more work. In fact, writing the story for the print edition or for the website to lead into the replay of the live blog, it actually takes less work than starting fresh from your notebook, because you wrote something that you think, oh, that would make a good lead. And you can cut and paste some of the key moments and those sorts of things and just edit quickly.
And the other thing is we were talking before about, you know, newspapers being smaller, you know, staffs being smaller. It's actually a way for you to get a lot of that information that you wouldn't have room for because you're running a smaller paper.
Sure.
And I know my own personal experience is, you know, what you just described, I see that a lot played out very prominently in like sports reporting. People
sure.
who cover games, who tweet about, you know, plays and things, teases to the story that's going to be online, teases to the story that's going to be in the paper.
It's especially applicable to broadcast, I think, just because you have such a limited amount of time. And a lot of times I know from a TV standpoint, you would take sort of that one outlier fact or that one interesting piece and use it to do your stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
But you have, like, you know, 15 to choose from.
Sure.
So that way you could share different things and then obviously pull your viewers in to watch what you have in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I think we've really touched on a lot of really interesting subjects about the business and the future of journalism. Since I said the future of journalism, where is the future of the journalism?
Ah, boy, I wish I knew.
That's a big question.
Yeah. Clearly, it's digital. Clearly, accuracy and reliability are going to continue to matter. And I think when people have lots of sources they could go to, the ones they trust will have an economic value. And I think some smart people, perhaps not of my generation, because it'll have to be somebody, it might need to be somebody who's more of a digital native who can think of how this is going to work. Somebody's going to need to develop a successful business model to support that. I think digital first media is on a good path to that. But if we emerge from our bankruptcy thinking that we've got it worked out because we're successful in early 2013, that'll be good for 2013, but we have to keep innovating and watching the next changes, because whatever works in 2013 may not work as well in 2014 and 2015 and everything. So I think it's going to be a mix of creative people finding the right ways to tell the news and creative people finding the right ways to connect with the businesses in the community and provide value that people are going to pay for.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Steve.
It's been my pleasure, and congratulations on launching this project.
That was Steve Buttrey, Digital Transformation Editor for Digital First Media and Journal Register Company. He was talking to It's All Journalism's Megan Clardy and Mike O'Connell on September 13th, 2012. It's All Journalism is produced by Megan Clardy, Mike O'Connell, and Jolie Lee. You can listen to all of our podcasts at itsalljournalism.com.